This episode of the Crown Refs podcast is brought to you by RefereeStore.com. To save 15% on all United Attire products, enter Crown15 at checkout. We hope you enjoy this episode and do us one last favor before you listen. Have a great rest of your day.
Thank you for listening to the Crown Refs podcast, the audio experience for basketball officials. Serve the game.
Because it doesn't allow me to flip my phone. Nobody wants to flip their phone nowadays.
Right.
If we're watching a movie on our phone, we'll flip it once. But the back and forth flip, that's why we all watch vertical video. Vertical video wasn't popular for a long time. We never really watched full-length videos until Snapchat came along, and then TikTok even made the screen bigger. And that's where it's at, covering as much real estate from north to south.
Welcome back to episode 3 of our new series, In the Paint, featuring John McNeil. We hope you enjoy and have a great rest of your day.
Have you worked any games recently?
Not recently. At least not basketball. I've taken behind the plate for our slow pitch, and I'm taking it again this week just to kind of help alleviate some of the student staff issues we've been having. So, unfortunately, have not had a chance to get on the hardwood. And I don't think it'll happen until closer to the end of summer. But some pretty exciting things are in the works, and I'm actually pretty excited to tell you about it.
Oh yeah, are you gonna tell me right now, or are you gonna keep it suspenseful?
I can tell you right now.
No, of course, yeah. No, just the way you framed it, I'm like, oh, you're gonna make me wait? Like, all right, great, let me hear it.
I'm working in conjunction with Zach Murphy and my coordinator, Brandon Anderson, and we are trying to put together an officiating class here, either on campus or in the city, to kind of help combat the official shortage in high school sports, not just basketball. Obviously, it's our forte. It's what we know. So we're going to start there. Hopefully it'll branch out. But we had some pretty good, we had a lunch meeting today, and we're looking to hopefully kind of spark things this fall. We're reaching out to surrounding cities in the area to hopefully partner with them, some supporters in high schools to do some training camps or scrimmages. And so we're really excited to hit the ground running with that here in Starkville, because there's officials here, and there's a meeting or three that happen throughout the season, but there's not a lot of development that goes into the officials outside of what, you know, the universities have to offer. So we are trying to take it a step further and bring not just student officials, but community members who either interested in it or have never heard of it and might pique their interest in doing it. And so, and also to take the first, second, and third year officials under our wings and kind of help them develop before they get back on the hardwood, especially those first year officials that might have only had 3, maybe 4 games over the last season. And get them prepped for varsity games, and hopefully, further, if that's what they want to do. Obviously, if they're not interested in doing that, then we're not going to push them to do more than they want to do. But we're trying to combat the sports official shortage from what we have the opportunity to do. And I think with where I am in my position and where Zach is with his knowledge, we are really trying to combine that and hope for the best with getting others within the MHSAA on board with what we're trying to do, and then of course spark it out into other sports that are also having this official shortage, and then maybe we become the preeminent training grounds within the state, which I think would be great. But we're also, shout out to UCF for what they do with their officials and their classes. We're going to try to emulate what they do, because we know it works. And it might not work the way that they do it, but we're going to do our best to take what they've done and start that here.
I think that's a fantastic idea, and definitely modeling it after them, because they've had such great success producing NBA talent and doing a great job at the university. So let's break it down a little bit. So you initially said well, when did you guys get the idea to do this? So you're going to start like an actual new brand or a company, or did you think about names? I had just asked you like 12 questions.
Yeah, but no. So we got the idea. Well, really, it was an idea. We have been throwing around doing a clinic, like a Region 2 basketball officials clinic, kind of like the University of Georgia does with flag football. So we've thrown around that idea. You know, we have the NERSA regionals that we utilize for clinics, but we wanted to do something more. And so the idea really kind of happened within December to now. And I didn't really know who to make contact with other than the district association. But through officiating from then to now, I've made those contacts, like with Zach, who is in Starkville, and really is 100% behind this and helping out with this. We met today, and so the groundwork is starting to be laid. You know, it was an idea three or four months ago, and now it's really starting to become a fruition. I don't think we're looking at doing it as a company. I think we're looking at doing it under the umbrella of MHSAA, you know, District 4 Basketball Officials Association, or even, you know, if we can branch out and become the Starkville Basketball Officials Association. I think that's the umbrella we're trying to take. On campus, I'm trying to create a Student Officials Association. I have to garner the interest for that first before I can really make that one happen. But that's kind of where we're at. You know, like I said, as far as company-wise, I don't know that we're looking to make it a company. It's not a bad idea. I think it would be under probably the umbrella of Unbiased Zebras, just because it's already started. And I think you saw the TikTok and the Instagram page. It's got a couple videos up now, and I've been working on that too. So
good.
Yeah, that's kind of where we're at with that.
Good for you, man. I can't wait to hear more, and I can't wait to help you along the way. This will just be another avenue that we can tap into as far as how you develop it and the connections you make and how you go about the curriculum and the content and everything. So it's great. It seems like you have your hands on a lot of things right now.
Yeah, it's, you know, we're winding down with the school year, and over the summer I run some youth camps, but outside of that, there's not much else for me in my current position to do other than prep for the next school year, which doesn't take a lot of time. So I think this is going to kind of be my brainchild, along with Zach and Brandon, and you know, hopefully we can get some kind of rolling.
Good to hear, man. That's awesome.
Thanks.
Great stuff. I mean, it makes total sense that you guys would collaborate on a training, you know, program for your students. Mm-hmm. So can't wait to, you know, watch it evolve for sure.
Thanks. I'm trying really hard not to get into the mindset of if it comes to fruition and manifest it. I told myself, and I told Brandon, I said, it's not a matter of if it comes to fruition. It's a matter of when, and we're going to make it happen. We're going to make it happen is going to fall into our laps once we start laying the ground. And I think that's where we're at. So my mindset has totally changed. And that's, you know, big help to you, or big thanks to you for helping me with that through the past couple months.
Yeah, I think, you know, you're helping me too, but I think each one of our sessions have gotten progressively a little bit deeper into just, you know, I'm learning more about you. The more I know about you, the more I can give you, you know, the tools and resources to help you, and also diagnose some things that we can tweak. I think last session we went very, very mindset. We went kind of, you know, real deep into that. And I think we had a couple breakthroughs. And it's about time we named the series. I mean, I think this is episode four now of, what is it called? Inside the Paint?
In the Paint with John.
In the Paint.
Yeah.
In the Paint. I like it.
Yeah, that was, it was weird because I was, like I said in my message, I was trying to meld the basketball officiating aspect of it, but also the technology piece of it. And I just couldn't, find a way to do it. So I was like, you know what? Stick to what you know, stick to basketball terms. And that kind of rolled out of my head. And I was like, that's a good one.
Yeah, because the paint gives us like the art side of it too. Mm-hmm. Like the design and the content part, because it's half, it's a half basketball officiating series and then a half content officiating series. So
yeah,
we have two places to pull from minimum.
Yeah, exactly. I love that. I honestly, I hadn't even thought about the paint as the paint strokes of what we're doing. So that's so clever. I love that.
You did it unconsciously.
Yeah, that's true.
So did you come back to this session with anything already kind of, you know, written down or any questions that you wanted to or topics you wanted to start with?
So I think the biggest question that I had was, now that I've got a couple videos up and I've got some that are in my draft that I'm trying to put together, what are the steps to getting the engagement that I'm trying to get, outside of paying for the pushes, which I don't really want to do. What's the best way to get natural engagement with those posts?
So we want to build you an organic community where you provide value to the person on the other side of the phone. Mm-hmm. So everything that you ever publish, you're not publishing it for yourself. You're always thinking of how this can help somebody else. So just get into that mindset with every time that you post or produce content.
Okay.
What I did early on, I did something called ref hunting. Called that ref hunting basically on Instagram was I wanted to find as many officials on Instagram and add them. Okay. And simply add them. I was sifting through a lot of profiles, but I was only adding people that I was 95% sure that were officials, whether they showed, and that's going to take time scrolling through and seeing if they post any officiating pictures or if they have anything in their profile that says they're a basketball official. So what I would do is I would start with Instagram and I would just try to search basketball referee, look through my contacts. Like you can add, you know, the people I have, people that you know are 100% refs, but I would start with the officials, add as many officials as you can to your platform to, you know, connect with. This way they can start seeing your content. You could start interacting with their posts. And then, you know, just producing a lot of content, producing a high volume worth of content is going to get people reaching out. So every day you want to stay consistent, at least with stories, you know, at minimum, I'm always posting stories and that's pretty much 365. There's probably a couple days off where I don't post anything. There definitely is. Maybe not 360, probably let's say 337 days throughout the year. I'm posting minimum, you know, couple stories, but there's times where I post 24 stories in a day.
Okay.
And, you know, 16 total posts on all platforms, not including stories. So like a high volume of content. And you don't want to just come out the gates and just post if you're still hitting your stride. But, you know, you're going to get better. I didn't come out the gates and just post a ton of stuff. I didn't have that much material. It took time to create the material.
Yeah.
But do that on Instagram and do that on Facebook. Did you start your brand on Facebook yet?
Not yet. It's on So I think it's that and YouTube are the two platforms I'm not on yet with Unbiased Zebras. I have the Instagram, I have the TikTok. I'm trying to link. I think where I struggle is I don't want to link the Unbiased Zebras to my personal page, because it's a very small group on there. I want to open that up to people that I'm unfamiliar with. I'd rather have my own page as opposed to like a profile.
So I, you know what I did? I did both. Okay. One is better than zero, but two is better than one.
Sure.
So I started my own page that copies right from Instagram. So every time I post on Instagram, it posts on the page. I never post on the page directly. It's always indirectly from Instagram. And then I post on the profile. The profile is another way to reach people, and that's how you can add referee friends. See, when Correct. I started the page, I realized you can't add anyone. I don't think. I mean, this was 4 years ago when I was messing with the, starting a Facebook profile. So mm-hmm. they might have changed some settings around. But, and I know this is a lot, but again, the more the better. So the more channel, two Facebook channels is better than one Facebook channel.
Yeah.
Sometimes I forget I have a Facebook page. It's because I'm not doing anything on it. It's just a copy and paste thing from Instagram. So that's really no effort. So you might want to think about starting an additional profile account with United Zebras. And you could type in basketball official, and there's so many officials that'll come up. So refs are a lot more accessible on Facebook as far as building the community over TikTok.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Not as many people post that they're refs in TikTok. There's way more random usernames. Facebook has way more government names.
Gotcha. Okay. That makes sense. It's probably the same with Instagram too, right? As far as like government names versus
not as much. A good hybrid between the both.
Okay.
In the middle between the both. Yeah.
Okay. The next question I had is next season, I'm going to be adding all of our student staff. We're switching platforms from GroupMe to Discord. Just in general, I think that Discord's easier to utilize than GroupMe is. So for our student official staff, it's going to be a completely separate channel than the Unbiased Zebras. But I was curious, because I'll probably do like video calls, like video trainings with them, and like Zoom trainings. But outside of like Riverside and Zoom, is there a way to record on Discord those calls or those face-to-face, like, especially like if, let's say we get in the fall and there's a training and you as a guest or Zach as a guest or literally any referee, somebody else as a guest on that, is there a way to record that so that it's kept for them to go back to look at?
Yes. And yes, there's a way to record directly into Discord. You have to use a Discord bot named Discord Craig Bot. And there's a simple prompt you type in, and it just starts recording. People listening are like, oh my God, these guys are so techie. But listen, these are just the names. But actually, yeah. I just Googled it because I did it one time. But I never found the file. I didn't search for the recording. Mm-hmm. It was about 8 months ago, so I'm not fresh on it. But you can always record with a different device as well. The sound quality might not be as good, but it says, invite Craig to your Discord. So we have Craig on our Discord. Choose the Discord server you want to record on. Click authorize. So there's just a prompt. Yeah, we can figure that out for sure.
Okay. Cool. And then, of course, if you have any feedback on the content that I did put out, I'd love your feedback on what I can do to improve it. Obviously the engagement's going to tell me what's working and what's not, but I know that you've done it before. Initial thoughts on what I put out so far?
Let's check it out. Let's just go through everything. Zebra by Unbiased Zebras.
Mm-hmm.
Or Zebra. UZ. I like the UZ. I do like UZ as an acronym. So we got to update your profile. It says John McNeil, and it doesn't say anything else. You got to tell the people who you are. Instagram.
Instagram. Okay.
So pull up profile so you can look at it at the same time.
Yeah.
So you got to edit your profile and then go in and fill out the description and the bio.
Okay.
Of who you are, of what you do, of what either what you do or what Unbiased Zebra does. You get like three sentences.
Okay.
I would also recommend, if you look at my profile, mm-hmm. just the design of it, where it goes emoji, title. So for everybody listening, it says microphone, the Crown Refs podcast. Then under it has a basketball. It says your source for referee content. Under there, it has the planet Earth, a community of dedicated officials. Then it has people, Crown Refs mentor program. Join our community with the link below.
Okay. Yeah, I see that.
You see that? Okay. So that's just a template for you. You don't have to do it the exact same way, but make it aesthetically pleasing. So as soon as I hit United Zebra, boom, it pops out on, you know, pops through my screen and I can take a mental snapshot of who you are in like a 1 second
okay.
window.
Gotcha.
All right. So good.
That's easy enough.
Just followed it back. So first post, do you see how the layout of it looks on your grid?
Yes.
Okay. What do you think is...
The lettering is really hard to see.
Well, yeah, I can barely see any lettering. Yep.
Yeah. I know that it says transition fouls on it, but I think anybody who's just looking at it sees letters, like random white letters across a basketball court.
I want your spatial breakdown. We're looking at a box,
mm-hmm.
right? The real estate of the space is a box, and what you put in it is a small little rectangle, a vertical rectangle, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't fit.
Okay.
Okay, so you want to make sure all your posts fit on the layout version. So like when you post it and then I'm scrolling through, I don't mm-hmm. see a little video here. I don't want to click a little video. It could be the greatest video of all time, but most people aren't going to click that.
Right. Okay.
So on your profile grid, the shape is all square.
Mm-hmm.
So make sure you have square video covers when you're posting on your grid.
Okay.
The grid is the first... tab of Instagram. The original post is the grid, right?
Right.
Reels is the middle one.
Yes.
We'll get to Reels in a second. Let's stay on this post. Your next post, the second one, has your logo. It looks great. However, a logo cover isn't going to do anything as far as video traction, in my opinion. I've done it tons of times, and I haven't noticed a lot of traffic on those videos.
Okay.
Because it doesn't tell me anything about the video.
Sure.
I just see that it's your logo up there. It makes sense that that you would post this early in the game. So I love that you did. You should. But you're going to learn. You're learning the technicalities now of social right. media. It's a science, you know, and it's a craft just like everything else. So those mm-hmm. are the first two. Okay. The third video. What do you think of the fit?
It's elongated. It's not a square. It's a rectangle, just like the first one. It's a little bit bigger, so it gives you more of a look as to what it is. But again, with the, you know, not fitting into the grid, I can see that.
So it's in landscape mode, the same mode you watch on TV.
Right.
The laptop, the TV, landscape mode. Your first post was in vertical screen,
mm-hmm.
which is how I want all of your videos to appear.
Right.
But the three video formats are vertical, square, and widescreen. We want to do vertical for the majority of our videos. Actually, okay. I have not had a video that hasn't been vertical screen maybe in over a year and a half.
Okay. This is a clip from my TBL game, and the way that I get the video is I screen record off of my on my iPad. So how would I utilize, or how would I make it so that it's not landscape? Because all the videos are in or you know, all the
right,
the
exactly. So that absolutely great question. So this is where you have to fit it yourself in CapCut.
Okay.
So you actually have to drag it and zoom it so it becomes, it stretches vertically. Now that then you're going to have to slide it to make sure that particular scene is visible, because there's going to be a lot of the court that then gets cut off. So you want to make sure the content that you're showing is center of that screen.
Okay.
And that'll you'll have to clip. There's something in CapCut called clip trim. Mm-hmm. So you just cut the file, and then you could edit it from there.
Okay. I think that's what I did with that first video, but I don't know. Obviously, I didn't fill it to the square when I posted it from TikTok.
Okay, the first video, when I click it, it stays in landscape mode.
Okay.
Right, so, and in Instagram, this doesn't allow me to flip my phone. Nobody wants to flip their phone nowadays.
Right.
If we're watching a movie on our phone, we'll flip it once. But the back and forth flip, that's why we all watch vertical video now. Vertical video wasn't popular for a long time. We never really watched full length videos until Snapchat came along, and then TikTok even made the screen bigger. And that's where it's at, covering as much real estate from north to south as you can. Because like this is hard to see. I mean, just think about how much of the screen is black.
Yeah.
Okay. So we want to fill up that screen.
Okay.
Your second video is in vertical. So that's great. I love that. Good. I see you recorded a clip of you talking to the crew. I want to hear that audio.
I thought I had audio for it. The mic was not working that much.
So you were set up to do it and you had a technical difficulty?
Yeah. And so there's a whole conversation. It's a 7 minute or a 4 minute conversation, not seven, with them that we talked, you know, did our halftime talk. And my mic didn't pick up on the actual film.
Okay. It happens. Technical difficulty. The fact is your intent was there to record it. So that was great.
Yeah.
Because those are the clips I want to see, and I think that that's a great foundation for you to be able to teach these, you know, cadets.
Yeah.
You know, about officiating. You're the expert here. And then the final video stays in landscape mode.
Yeah. I think. Honestly, those were the big.
No, I'm saying what else on Instagram. So then if you hit the tab, Reels.
Yes.
So now in Reels, the screen gets bigger. Now it's a vertical screen rectangle.
Mm-hmm.
So do you see it, the shape of it now?
Yeah.
You got to make that first one bigger to fit, because it's the same ratio. It just has to be zoomed in to fit.
Okay.
And you want to make sure the captions that you put are visible on the covers.
So just make it bigger, or like, I guess when I look at yours, I can do that. Get an idea of.
When you look at mine, you could look, glance at every video, and within 1 second know what the video is about.
Okay, I see.
Like, so there's titles.
Yeah.
Yeah, every video has a title. I feel like if I'm scrolling through videos and there's no title, it's going to really reduce the chances of me wanting to watch it.
Okay. Yeah, I can see all of your videos. They all fit that. Like on your reels, they all fit that ratio. They fill up all the space.
There's no blank space.
Yeah.
If one thing you can do, because you will find that not every landscape video you can really do a great job stretching. So what you'll do is you'll use the blur effect. Mm-hmm. The blur effect it'll be added to the screen, so it will replace the blackness. So let's say you can't stretch this block charge play you have all the way up, you can stretch it to a square, which is bigger than landscape. You could stretch it to a square, and then the remaining real estate will be a blur image of the image you're showing. So you'll get the color.
Okay.
It'll feel warmer.
Yeah. There won't be all that blank. Dead space. Yeah. Correct.
So that's something that I've used quite a bunch of times, especially off Zoom when I'm recording, like the Gene Steratore content, if you'll notice, is all square images because I just couldn't stretch him that much.
Yeah.
It wasn't working out. So I kept the blur and you don't even really notice the blur, to be honest with you.
Okay. I'll have to give that a go on the next video.
But these are just straight tactics I'm giving you here.
Yeah.
I mean, these are the tools to build it up. But remember, don't get discouraged. This is all a work in progress. You know, did I tell you last time if you had time to go back to some of my earlier posts?
Yeah, and honestly, I did not get a chance to go as far back as I wanted. But
why don't you do it right now? It'll take you 1 minute. Just scroll up. I'm doing it too.
I can say I got it about 2 years ago when I was looking. But sometimes I get the squirrel effect where I'll pause on a video and then I'll start scrolling and other videos pop up and then I go to like 5 minutes later I'm 13 videos deep and they have nothing to do with where I started.
It's so true. You know, I listened to people talk about that for a while and I was like, yeah, not me. But lately, like the algorithm, I'll go to a post. Here's how I post. I post on 6 platforms, one after the other. So I go to TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, LinkedIn. And now I have a platform called Flapper that I'm posting on too. But my point is every stop I go to, so I'll go to TikTok and my intent is to go on the platform and post. And that first video I see in my feed takes me away from the post from about 10 minutes. Then I realize, oh, I'm here to post. Let me go back and post. So that's TikTok. Now I go to Instagram. Same exact thing happens. I go in, instead of hitting the plus button, that first video they show me because they know exactly what I want to see, you know, and then 4 minutes later, I come back to it. Same thing on Facebook now.
Yeah.
Same thing on YouTube. Like, I have to tell myself, like, no watching.
Yeah. I've started setting timers for myself. When I do have time to like scroll through and just do some mindless scrolling, I set timers for myself because if I clocked how much time I spent when I don't have a timer, the hours would just I hate that I am able to admit that, but like, you know, when my nighttime routine, you know, take my medicine, brush my teeth, do a little bit of meditation. And then if I'm not tired, what do? I pick up my phone and I just scroll. And next thing you know, it's 20, 30 minutes later. I'm finally tired, but you know, like it adds up and can really kind of, for me, it definitely messes with me if I'm not careful. So throughout the day, I have intentionally set breaks to do that and scroll and maybe 2 or 3 videos and then get back to what I'm doing. Otherwise, like, you know, like talk about 4 or 5 minutes later, you're like, oh, whoops. four minutes becomes 10, becomes 20, becomes 30.
Well, hopefully the videos you're talking about are my videos or some of them.
A lot of them have popped. They will pop up all the time.
It's my fault.
No, it's good because sometimes there are days where I'll not have any like social media, and I'll just, you know, maybe once in the morning and then once in the evening, and then on a Friday or a Saturday I'll pop on and I'll get all of the videos that I didn't, you know, see for 2 or 3 days, and they just one, and then it'll be 2 or 3 videos, something else, and then back to the same content, and I'm like, okay, there was a lot that I missed. So It's good stuff. It's always good stuff. I think that happened more so when you came back from Qatar. You had all of those FIBA posts. I saw one, was like, this is great. And then for like 2 or 3 days, I didn't scroll TikTok. Then I came back and there were 8 or 9 posts. And I was like, man, he made some moves, made some waves. So I got to figure out how to do it as quickly as you, because I have the content. I have the film. Now I just have to figure out how to be able to break those, you know, clips up into, or those essentially feature films into clips, just like you did. So that's where I'm working at it.
Yeah, remember, you know, this is me doing it 5 years. I've been flexing my muscles with it, been training and doing it. So it comes a lot easier to me because I've developed systems and I've learned a lot of different applications and technology and design and all that. So it allows me to go fast. I remember I do bulk content. So I don't sit here every day and record a video of myself, one video for TikTok. Mm-hmm. I record a 50-minute video of me teaching at a camp. And then when I replay this video and I'm going through and I've loaded the full clip up into CapCut and I'm watching it, I immediately know the start of a clip and I know when that clip ends. And I know what I'm not using and I know what I'm keeping. And I know what needs to get posted and what needs to get stripped. And then as soon as I see the video clip, I already know which title is going to go up there and how the captions are going to go. So it's just piece by piece by piece by piece. And it allows you to move quicker. So I would follow my model of bulk content at these events. You know, get a 10-minute clip, get a 20-minute clip, get an hour clip. Mm-hmm. You know, that hour clip could last you months and months of content. The 15-minute video rapid responses presentation I gave to my board, that was a 15-minute clip, but I was posting it for over a month.
Yeah.
And every day, 2 or 3 clips.
Yeah. I think go ahead.
I decided to deliver it in as many bite-sized pieces as possible. And the podcast and the long-form videos, those are for the long form, but everything else, like it could be as little as 15 seconds, but I want to really break down the different content and separate it as much as possible.
Okay.
Yeah. I think that helps the listener and the viewer remember it a little bit more.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense. I mic'd myself for my most recent TBL game.
Did you really?
Did. And unfortunately, I couldn't film it myself because I didn't have somebody there that could film. Normally, I would have had somebody there, but this time I didn't. But like I said, the games are recorded. They're live streamed and then they're recorded. So what I'm in the process of doing, and it's turning out to be a little bit more of a pain than I was hoping it would be, is syncing up the audio from my mic. Because I can do like strict storage to it. I can like turn the microphone on and connect to anything. Trying to sync up that audio with the film that I have, you know, screen grabbed is turning out to be a little bit more time intensive than I was hoping it would be. But I think once I have the clips or that you know, 2-hour and 20-minute window of game film synced with that audio, that's going to be a lot of content, because there are some really good clips where I was talking to players. That's the game that I told you about with the technical fouls, where I should have came in a little bit earlier, but he ended up getting one later on. So that's that game, and it's thankfully clear audio that I can utilize, but it's like I said, I didn't realize it was gonna be that much of a pain.
That's a hard project. It's possible for sure. It's gonna take some time making sure the timeline is synced up.
I'm gonna have to watch the game.
Or you might just have to do it in the clips of content, because remember, you're not talking most of the game.
Right.
So you wanna capture the times you're talking. So you can capture the times you're talking and then kind of reverse engineer it and sync up the video, because you'll be able to find the video part. So that might be a little bit easier for you, just doing it one clip at a time versus trying to sync up the entire file of 2 hours and 20 minutes from video to audio. That's, you don't need to do that.
Right. Okay. That makes sense. Okay.
I would go through your audio first. Mm-hmm. I would find the audio that you think is good content that you want to use, and then go find the video and match it up, and just do clip by clip.
Okay.
Is that understandable?
Yeah, it makes sense. I'm just trying, because the audio, because it's also locker room, like pregame time, the audio is like 3 hours and 40 minutes. That's so cool. I think it's flagging all the audio.
So you recorded a pregame with your partners?
I turned it on so that I wouldn't have to worry about turning it on and off before the game. Unfortunately, we had an extra visitor to the locker room that made the audio kind of unusable, only because we ended up not having a full pregame like I really wanted to. And then there's some audio at halftime that could potentially be used, but it's not content that I would think would be helpful to other officials. It's more of, it could be, it's a lot of me saying, hey, this is what I did. I should have came and got this a little bit earlier. But there's also just a lot of talking about not the game, which isn't bad. I think that helps us feel better, talking to each other. But it's just, I don't think there's a lot of audio with pregame and halftime that's worth putting out there. There's more of the timeouts are probably some good stuff. Talking to my partners. We're talking like strategy with clocks and rule-based knowledge conversations.
Yeah, I mean, that's a skill. Again, going through and filtering, you as an editor now, going back and filtering what is usable and what is not. But I'll just leave you with this. Every time I think like, oh, should I post this? Is this something that somebody, people are going to grow from? Then I immediately get like, an amazing comment that said, this is exactly what I needed to see right now. Thank you so much. Or I always get some sort of justification on the other side of why I should post and why I should keep posting a lot. Because basically everything I put out, at least one person can grow from.
Yeah.
I feel confident saying that. So if we're just helping one at a time, then it's worth posting.
That's fair. I'll try to be fair.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think that makes sense for me to hear, and now I can go into the audio breakdown without being too picky, while still being pretty picky.
yeah, but you had it right. You're thinking of the audience. You're thinking of it. Is it valuable? But don't underestimate it. I'm not saying put the non-basketball stuff in there. Like you're gonna delete that, but if you're talking to a player or your response, obviously all coach content is recordable. You want to always include that.
Yeah, you know? there was not a lot of coach talk in that game, which was weird. I know that there are games where coaches just don't say anything, but I don't think I personally had a lot of interactions with the coaches in that game, which was weird for me because generally they'll ask questions, at the very minimum, they'll ask a question, what was that? What did they do? What could they do better? But it was just probably a fluke game where it just wasn't there for me.
I mean, we can't control that. So,
honestly,
the amount of times I've been mic'd up, I don't think any of the games are good. I'm producing all of this content on games that really there's no.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I haven't even gotten those hard games. I mean, I'm not, the sample size is too small. There's only been about three or four times I've recorded.
Sure.
But the competition was not fierce. There was not a lot of drama in these games. So like if you ever get a game where, you know, it's just crazy intense and there's a lot of maybe unsportsmanlike, like that is great content. I think people would love to see that.
Yeah. Well, there's definitely that with the players. I can guarantee that there's that content there, which I'm excited to break that one down audio wise and see what I used that was good and see what I could have done better.
So this should be your next project for you. I would focus on this right here. This is a big mm-hmm. piece of content that you could be breaking down for months. Mm-hmm. So let's pull that audio, pull that audio into CapCut and start editing it. And then as soon as you get to your first usable clip, you then find the video that matches.
Okay.
And then line it up and then shape it up and add your title and do the captions, automatic captions, and then let's see what happens.
Okay. How do I get a cover so it doesn't do that flash where it flashes the cover and then the video back and forth? Or is that just a normal thing all the time?
You're talking about TikTok?
Yeah. Yeah.
TikTok, that's their feature. It's a video flash cover, a boomerang cover. Well, you okay. want it to stop? You want the image to stop and freeze?
Well, so like if I do it in CapCut, I want the cover so that it's just like it is on your Instagram, where it's just this is.
Yeah, but you can line up the cover on TikTok. You just type in or you click the cover option and then you pull the video or the image to where it mm-hmm. shows the text.
Okay. Okay. I'll have to mess around with that more. I was struggling with trying to get it to not do that without like utilizing the freeze feature.
The freeze feature on CapCut?
On CapCut with the freeze.
I'm not sure. That's an app is worth purchasing.
No, the freeze feature.
Freeze feature. Yeah, you don't have to freeze. You don't have to use the freeze feature to do your cover correctly.
Okay.
It's quite simple. Yeah. Just go to the. Do you know the button on TikTok where it says cover? After you post or as you're posting, it's one of the final screens.
I haven't because a lot of. I'll be honest. Most of my videos I just throw into CapCut and use. Because it had the features we were talking about, but
yeah, I know, but you post on TikTok. So this is the last stage of you posting on TikTok. There's an option to fit the cover, select the cover and you'll drag it. You'll drag it to where it exposes the titles.
Okay. That makes way more sense. Okay.
Cause you probably just had it in a spot in the video where the titles disappeared. So the image that got selected was the title there and then disappearing probably is what you're describing, I would think.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I think that's exactly what it was.
So much technology.
We're going deep in the matrix tonight.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm here for it, man. I have learned so much over the past 2 weeks since you gave me the project to start posting. Even though I've only done three videos, I've already learned so much on what I can do. So this is going to be fun for me.
Absolutely. And once I start publishing these podcasts, I know we're on four. I got to start working on them. It'll be good for you to listen back too, because you'll relearn these tips as well. But I know you're probably taking some notes and keeping track of it.
Yeah, I absolutely. Because otherwise I will, you know, not forget, but be like, oh man, where did I put that? And then I'll have to go find it. So,
absolutely, man. Well, I look forward to seeing that mic'd up content. And it was great speaking with you tonight. Have a great rest of your night.
Thanks. You too, Paul.
Take care.
Thank you for listening to the Crown Refs Podcast. Serve the game.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode. If our podcast has brought you any value in the past, then we would love if you considered joining our mentor program and private community for officials. You can go to patreon.com/crownrefs to get started today.